We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
So much changing in the world of sports right now. People having to make adjustments. People having to figure out new ways of doing things. And the NFL still making sure to hold fast to the old guard when it comes to the all-important onside kick.
And they've tweaked things before, like the extra point. We'll get into that with Booger in a second. Really quickly, I'm impressed with you that you're holding fast with your KT Wiz and the KBO. Because they're going to the top of the eighth, and the Kiwoom Heroes are winning 5-1.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and we'll still soon be on ESPN2.
Because that one's going
to
be over.
The Wiz are mercifully going to just lose in regulation in this one for me. They're not going to drag this out.
You're not getting teased at all. Right, you're not getting teased at all in this one.
We of Wiz Nation are very used to either extra innings, bullpens just completely peeing down their legs,
yeah,
whatever have you. So honestly, this is a relief. This is one of those instances, Dad, the debate we always have on here and that you always have with a lot of people is what's worse, getting to a championship and losing or just losing before that so you're not even close enough to feel that pain? In this case with the Wiz, I'm fine not getting close enough to a win just to avoid the pain.
Right, so that goes back to the national championship game you got smoked in. Would you have rather gotten smoked in that game or would you rather it have been close?
Championships are different. We've had this discussion. I've always would have rather gone.
I just wanted to bring that game up again.
Yeah, thanks for that one, jerk. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. The dogs have made their way down here now. Yes, I understand everyone on Twitter. My legs are being licked viciously at this moment in time. And so to help distract you all from that, we are pleased to welcome in our friend and ESPN football analyst, Booger McFarland, joining us now on Golic and Wingo. Booger, we appreciate the time. We're going to get to, in a couple of minutes, what you and I are a part of this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Something near and dear to your heart. Peloton racing. But I gotta ask you, because we've had a couple of different opinions weigh in on this so far, where were you on the NFL's proposed rule change for the onside kick to the 4th and 15 play?
I'm glad they turned it down, to be honest with you. You can probably put me in the category of the old guard. I just don't like the gimmickiness of the 4th and 15, and, you know, just to try to add excitement. To me, that's not football. Like, I get the onside kick is becoming irrelevant, but do we have to come up with a gimmick to replace it? So that's kind of where I stand at.
They tweaked the extra point by moving it back, and it certainly made it, put more drama into it. The last 2 years, Booger, 0-104 by changing that rule for safety on the extra, on the onside kick of not overloading a side and guys can't start running until the ball is kicked. So, would you leave it at that? I mean, given the choice, give me 4th and 15 any day of the week. If you don't like that, is there another tweak to the onside kick you would do? Because right now, it is a meaningless play in the NFL.
Well, you know, to your point, Mike, about the extra point, you're right. They tweaked the extra point, but it was still an extra point. So if we can figure out a way, I don't have the answer. If we can figure out a way to tweak the onside kick to come up with a different way where we can make it a little safer, then I'd be all for it. But to come up with a gimmick such as a 4th and 15, and who says it's got to be 4th and 15? The next thing you know, it could be 4th and 18, 4th and 20. Like, at some point, I think you have to say, okay, there are some plays in the game of football that just aren't going to be super exciting, or they're going to become mundane, and that's okay. Like, football has survived and been great for a long time with some boring plays. I think trying to make every single play in the game super exciting is probably going to or would probably lead to the downfall of football.
Booger, I'm curious then, where were you at on the Sky Judge proposal that was there? Obviously, we have some portions of it going to be implemented during the upcoming preseason, but it's going to be controlled by the on-field refs. They're going to be able to trigger communication with that booth official who would be what a lot of us have called the Sky Judge on this. Where were you on that as a potential change for the NFL?
Now, I love the idea of that, because to me, anytime you can make the game more accurate and help the officials out, this game moves at a fast pace, man. And those officials on the field are doing their best, but it's still human guys on the field trying to use their use their knowledge and use their senses to make these calls, and sometimes they miss them. And so anytime you can have an extra set of eyes upstairs, that way we don't have to go to replay. Somebody that can just buzz down, hey, Ed, I think you might have missed that call. Hey, Sean, I think you might have missed that call. Let's take a look at it. And you can correct it and move on. I thought the Sky Judge model that the XFL used was outstanding, and I was surprised that they, quote-unquote, tabled that. I would love to see that come back.
Yeah, right now it is the referee on the field who has to buzz up to the Sky Judge. The Sky Judge does not buzz down. So I guess, Booger, they still want to give control of this game to the refs on the field, because I don't think this is really going to help solve the problem, or I guess they want to move an inch before they move a yard.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do, Mike, is to keep the game on the field with the refs on the field and the players on the field. I think the NFL is very hesitant to take the game on the field and send it somewhere else, albeit upstairs, New York, wherever. I mean, they tried that with the pass interference rule. That didn't work. It was a disaster. Those were their words, not mine. And so at the end of the day, I think they're going to try to do everything they can to keep the game in the hands of the actual referee and crew of that game, which I get it. But I think the most important thing to the NFL product, and I think you guys would agree, is that if America sees an egregious call and everybody around the country is just up in arms, and for the people at the stadium and the referees not to be able to see it and correct it, I think puts the game in a more adverse situation than – say, going to New York or going to a Sky Judge.
Talking to Booger McFarland, our ESPN football analyst with us here on Golic and Wingo. And Booger, you mentioned before the NFL can survive a couple of boring plays, and I think a large portion of that is because the players are anything but. We have such interesting and compelling players in this league. One of them from last year was certainly Baker Mayfield. Now, it did not go the way he wanted after all the offseason talk, and so he's come back and said he's taking a bit more of a muted approach this year. How do you toe the line, Booger, between wanting a guy to mature in the certain ways that we want young players to, while also making sure that he's not going to hold back on that bravado that's helped make him a great player up until this point?
Well, it's really simple. I think you show the bravado, you show all the brashness, you show the cockiness inside the locker room. When the cameras come on, you say a little and you show up and you do your work. I think that's the big issue. There are several people in the NFL that are really, really cocky. You would never know it just because they don't say it or do it on camera. I think you want to put forth a humble, laid back approach, but in that locker room, when the doors are closed and you're talking to your guys, 5-10 minutes before the kickoff, yeah, that's the time you let them know, hey guys, hey, I'm ready, you're ready, let's go out and kick some behind. But when the public's light is on, especially in a team that has come out and talked a lot last year but didn't necessarily show up and perform, I think the humble approach, the silent approach is the way to go for the Browns.
Booger, going into the season, biggest threat to Kansas City repeating, whether it's the AFC and someone in the playoffs there or all the way to the Super Bowl, and who the rep would be from the NFC? Who's the biggest obstacle?
In the AFC, I think it's going to be Baltimore just because of how they play and, you know, the familiarity that they're going to have with each other because they played last year. To me, the biggest threat, though, is going to be on the NFC side. I think the NFC is loaded. You know, to me, this year in the NFL, it's like the NBA. You got the West and the East, where in the NBA, we say, man, the West is so dominant. The West is loaded. Well, if you look at the NFL this year, it's kind of like the West is the NFC. The NFC is absolutely loaded top to bottom. When you look on the AFC side, it's kind of Kansas City, Baltimore, and I guess I can make a case like Buffalo. Are we really saying Buffalo's the next team? Are we going to Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers going up there? So I think the biggest threat, other than Baltimore on the AFC side, is going to be one of these teams on the NFC side, albeit Seattle, San Francisco, whoever else is going to come out of that side of the Green Bay, New Orleans. Like, we can go on and on. There's 6 or 7 teams on the NFC side that are really, really good, and I don't think any of us would be surprised if we saw them emerge and give Kansas City a run for their money.
All right, Booger, I'm glad we've gotten all this football talk out of the way so that we can get to the real stuff with you here right now, because you and I are going to be part of the Peloton All-Star Ride this Saturday. Everyone can check that out. It's going to be a great time and obviously a great cause there. Booger, you are the Peloton veteran. I see you and a lot of the rest of our beefy guys on Twitter, formerly beefy guys, I should say, because you've all slimmed down so damn much on this Peloton. What can I expect from this, Booger? What are the tips to being a great Peloton rider?
Well, first of all, don't come out of the gate like it's a 100-meter sprint, because it's not. You know, we're going to be doing a 20-minute ride. And the great thing about Peloton is you kind of go at your own pace. Like, nobody's forcing you and telling you what to do, but you also want to be competitive. So when you're going against people, it kind of pushes you inherently to kind of, you know, go faster maybe sometimes than you should. So I think when people look at this race, they're going to see guys competing, guys getting in shape, but more importantly, it's going to be raising money for a good cause. And to me, that's the biggest issue. But Peloton is great, man. You know, for guys who have put a lot of wear and tear on their knees, like us linemen have, it's a great way of exercise, and that's why I fell in love with it.
You know, I've been doing Orange Theory Fitness for years, and I love it. It's worked. Part of throwing in the Peloton as well. I've seen you on Twitter with it and a few others. And I tell you what, but you're right, because you can control it. Boy, it's a hell of a workout. I mean, it certainly makes the sweat droplets go. There's no doubt about that.
Now, I'm curious, Booger, we got a pretty star-studded group that's a part of this. And over on the men's side, where we're going to be squaring off, we got Bubba Watson, Justin Thomas, Kyle Rudolph, Gordon Hayward, Matt Grievers, myself. Is Rory McIlroy the guy you're worried about? Because I've heard stories about this dude's output on the Peloton. He's supposed to be a freak.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy is outstanding. Like, I peeped his numbers. I don't know anything about this swimmer dude, Rivers. I'm not really sure about him, but anytime you're an Olympian, I think you got to be pretty good. My one goal during this thing is I'm not going to let any non-athletes beat me, i.e. Golic Jr. or any golfer. Like, that's the one thing I'm going into this saying is that people that are non-athletes are not going to beat me. So golfers and Golic Jr. are going down.
I love that.
And how dare you?
How about that? Let me tell you about said you the guy you don't know much about, Matt Grievers, a tall swimmer, Olympic swimmer. Let me just say, when I first saw this group put together, I pointed right to him and I said, he's winning. So we'll see what happens, but that is my pick, because that dude is a smooth athlete. So we'll see how it all goes.
Going to be very, very interesting to see how this goes. All right, Booger, we appreciate the time this morning. This is probably the last time I'll talk to you before the heat of competition, so best of luck. You're going to need it after that non-athlete comment.
What's going to be your pregame meal, by the way, Junior?
Donuts and ice cream, man. Come on. Yeah, the brand is strong around here. I got a carb load.
That doesn't change here, Booger. That doesn't change in the Golic house.
I love it. Y'all have a good one, fellas.
See ya.
You too, Booger. By the way, me participating in this Peloton All-Star Ride against Booger and the rest of these guys is part of Golic and Wingo's Home Olympic Trials, brought to you by California Almonds. With 6 grams of natural protein, fuel your whatever day, every day with California Almonds.
I'll tell you right now, Booger will sweat the most. He will win
it's
in sweating, I
unbelievable.
Bet.
Unbelievable.
That dude sweats so much. It's unbelievable.
It is remarkable. The dude is an absolute freak.
Yeah.
And you know what? I can identify with that. I am also a major
you're
league
sweater.
So.
Matt Grievers, I'm telling you, watch out for him.
The Peloton All-Star Ride is Saturday at noon Eastern on ESPN, the ESPN app, and ESPN Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook pages. So chances are, if it is ESPN, noon Eastern on Saturday, you're going to be able to watch me, Booger, and a cast of other ones, including Dawn Staley, who's getting ready to join us in a little bit. Going to be competing on the women's side, so we'll get to ask her about that coming up in just a little bit. All right. We've got all of that going on. We've also got something very important, very near and dear to us going on Twitter right now, at Golic and Wingo. It's our Friday Tale of the Tape, our usual Friday fight card going on here. We cooked this up when there were no sports happening on weekends. There are obviously sports happening still, but we really like doing this at this point. And it's gone completely off the rails in the matchups that we have tried to put forth in this. So we're going movie coaches, non-football edition this week. Non-football edition. You will not see a football coach show up over the course of this. That being said, we've got our early rounds up on Twitter right now. Dad, where are we at with the voting?
All right.
Start with the old and wise.
The first round was old wise men's division. Mr. Miyagi against Mickey from Rocky. Mr. Miyagi won that one 59-41.
Wow, okay.
Yep.
That ended up being closer than I thought.
The second round was ESPN 8, the Ocho division. Chubbs from Happy Gilmore, Patches from Dodgeball. Chubbs with the 62-38% win on that one.
Not going to lie, voted Chubbs on that one. Felt pretty good about his
chances.
I actually voted
Patches on that one.
Wow, I would say an all-timer there. Andy did it with a wooden hand.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so our final round in this one.
And just remember, we did not say fictional coaches.
No.
We said movie coaches, just so we don't hear it after this.
Exactly.
Right.
Movie coaches, because we know sometimes there are based on true events in here. And so our final round is the Miracle Men division. Let's see our first challenger.
After getting bailed out himself, Gordon Bombay bailed out District 5 as they went from a bunch of losers to the ultimate winners. Bombay rebranded his team from a stupid number to, according to Peter Mark, a stupid animal. And in a league dominated by birds, it was important for them to learn to fly before they could learn to skate. That is a sentence that does not make sense. The Ducks survived the embarrassment of taking the fall to enjoy the highlight of winning it all. Bombay proved miracles do happen when he refused to play by the Hawks' rules and was taught that he too needed to learn fair play. He taught Charlie how to triple deke and the team how to quack at the principal. From a has-been to the brink of being a never-was, to a minor league hockey tryout against guys half his age, Gordon Bombay was the Minnesota Miracle Man who even took his brand international, leading the USA Ducks to the Junior Goodwill Games gold medal over Wolf the Dentist Stanson. Two things real quick. The Junior Goodwill Games are not a real thing. We really went all in thinking they were. And I hate that Wolf Stanson's nickname was The Dentist. I get he collected more teeth than he did goals, but The Dentist? Iceland would never give him a dental license.
It's a fair point there at the end.
Adam Amin, phenomenal.
Is an absolute gift and a treasure in all this. All right, the Miracle Men division.
Oh,
let's see his challenger.
Herb Brooks was
born to be hockey players.
A solid player in his own right, Brooks played for a total of 8 U.S. national and Olympic teams, and even coached in the NHL. But it was his role as head coach of the 1980 Olympic team that makes him the Miracle Man. In the midst of the Cold War, Brooks' new Team USA was battling for much more than a chance at the gold when they took the ice against the Soviet Union on February 22, 1980. Brooks even said,
"Great moments are born from great opportunity."
He had motivated through fear, including calling one player out for quitting and threatening to bench his starting goalie. But he knew that they just needed to win
one game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9, but not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can.
But it all came together on a frigid night in Lake Placid, New York. And Mike Ruzioni's goal with 10 minutes remaining gave Team USA the lead they would never relinquish, which allowed Al Michaels to exclaim,
"You believe in miracles? Yes!"
As Brooks told them before the game, the Americans were
the greatest hockey team in the world.
As for the Soviets,
their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. Screw them. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
And take it they did with a 4-3 win. Two nights later, the Americans beat Finland to claim the gold, an absolute miracle.
Wow. I mean, could you imagine from going to the athletic career and games, some games you played in where you were winning, how long that last 10 minutes had to feel for those players when they went up 4-3 and they had to just kill 10 minutes against that Soviet team, and how long that had to feel like.
You know what feels longer?
What?
Being down 3 touchdowns in the first quarter. I can tell you that feels a lot longer than that.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting. The biggest thing going for Herb Brooks, by the way, is that little kid that remade his speech, because every time I hear that, I hear it in that kid's voice. So at Golic and Wingo, Miracle Men round of our Tale of the Tape. Again, big thanks to Adam Amin coming through in the clutch for us, as always, on these. Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Interesting news out of the state of Texas. Their governor came out yesterday with a statement saying, in addition to, and we had heard Texas is open for business for pro sports, it had followed suit in the way that California, Arizona, and a number of others had in there, said that they would also now, for professional stadiums, be open this summer to being able to fill those stadiums up to 25% capacity in this. We talked about this. It seems like things are moving awfully fast on this for reasons I understand, I can grasp, I mean, it's money, but it still seems like, man, we're not getting a lot of explanation for something that seems like it requires it.
No, it doesn't, and they'll have to get an okay. It's like they have to go through a process to do this whole thing. So, you know, just obviously figure it out the way. If you have 100,000 stadium, 25,000 go in. We have not mentioned colleges, though, in this, so we're trying to get to the bottom of that.
It sounds like that does not apply to colleges right now. So it was only mentioned because they obviously talked about the Dallas Cowboys, the Houston Texans, and the Texas Rangers. This is for outdoor stadiums. All of those stadiums have retractable roofs, so they can technically qualify for that and would, in theory, be able to fill fans for the upcoming Major League Baseball season and certainly the NFL fall.
They would have to apply and receive approval from the Texas Department of State Health Services, according to the Texas Tribune in this. And there were no, like, guidelines set up for stadium. It's just you have to follow the guidelines that are out there for social distancing and masks and things like that. And then you can supposedly do this. So I'll be really interested because we know it's important in all sports, but especially for those towns in colleges, if you can put some fans in the stands of where the colleges are going to fall in this. Because we've mentioned it more than a few times. We've heard Gene Smith, the AD from Ohio State, talk about his plan to put 20 to 25,000 fans in a stadium. Again, that holds 100,000 or more. So that's about 25% of fans filling a stadium. So where is this going to fall for colleges?
Yeah, it continues to me to kind of rush the line on this because I understand in so many instances the need to open up and get back to normal for a lot of businesses that have been adversely affected by this. But when I look at something like this on the same day that Texas reported a one-day high in new cases, on Thursday, I understand as testing becomes more wide-reaching, those are going to be things that happen. But we know as this reopening goes on, the biggest concern is a surge in new cases and the things that come along with this. And so would instances like this be more harm than good? And what we've talked about, the interest of doing the best by these sports and trying to get a whole season in the case of football versus what's best for the here and now in this. It's a difficult balance. I certainly don't envy these
governors. It is because of that number. Like you said, the number of all of a sudden, if there's a lot more testing, you're going to get the more positive. So some people can, I guess you can couch a number how you want to couch a number. And the rules of social distancing. If you say, okay, the rules for social distancing for 10, for then 50, for then 100, for then 1,000, for then obviously more than that, if you can do it, these are big open air stadiums with a lot of room. So if you can social distance those people, why not be able to do it? I know you run the risk because you have more people then involved, and then what are the protocols? Because remember, this goes back to the CEO of the Miami Dolphins, you know, a month ago, saying they had a plan to get 20,000 people in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. So this has been thought about because they, again, we have to say, they understand the revenue part of this and the money that can bring in.
Worth noting, it's still a long way off from any of the big time when we talk about the Astros or any of the football teams from this becoming a reality. So very interested there. But speaking of a long way off, there's one NBA owner that actually thinks this season could go all the way to the end of September. But is that realistic? We'll ask a whole next. It's Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
What do we call Fridays around these here parts?
The day before.
The day before.
There we go.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. And now coming to you from ESPN2, we welcome over everyone that was watching the KBO on ESPN2 as they saw the Kiwoom Heroes, of course, beat the KT Wiz.
That's your team. I've taken the Dinos and you have taken the Whiz. My dinos are great. Your Whiz stink.
I have taken the KT Whiz. I have not taken a Whiz in case there was anyone worried about that going on in the basement down here. So we welcome everyone over now on ESPN2. And we now welcome on Golic and Wingo, our ESPN NBA analyst and Hall of Famer, Doris Burke, joining us now. And Doris, heard some strong words from you there, and certainly a great conversation yesterday around Dame Lillard voicing concerns that, and I'd be curious from your perspective and who you've heard from, are those perspectives shared by a lot of people that there's some concern about coming back for games that might not lead to a championship from a health and safety standpoint?
Well, I think you heard it come out in small ways. You know, Jared Dudley has made some comments. Damian Lillard is always going to speak his truth. And, you know, on Get Up the other morning, Meek is the first one to have responded to Dan's comments about, you know, at the very end of it, he said he seems entitled. Anybody who knows Damian Lillard knows that's the last word you'd apply to him. I do think, guys, that if you're, to me, from the moment they started discussing restarting the season, because of the circumstances we are all dealing with, I have thought they should go immediately to the 16 teams that had earned their way in with the 75 to 80% of games played. Now, if you want to go to a pool play, which when I read the article and sort of looked at some possible groupings, you want to go to 20 and do a group play and give those, you know, borderline teams a shot, fine. I am totally good with that because I think the increased drama of it and the obviously number of games that you'd have to play adds to some revenues. I have no objections to the 20 in the pool play or just going straight to the 16. But, you know, Damian Lillard has more than proven his worth as a basketball player in terms of his competitive toughness. They also have a history of being out of the mix in the playoffs and making their way in. And I just, listen, you guys both played the game at the highest levels, right? Like, to ramp up and get physically and mentally prepared for games that don't matter, what would your reaction be to that in a similar circumstance? Tell me that. What would your reaction, guys, be?
Oh, I 1,000% agree with Damian Lillard. I mean, in it's one thing to ramp up and play some meaningless games when nothing's going on. There is a global pandemic going on. To put yourself and possibly your family in that situation, why? I mean, I love what the NHL did as far as going right to the playoffs, and I'm with you. 16, however they want to work it, make all the games, if it's going to be in Disney, make them mean something to try and lead to the playoffs to get to the playoffs. So I 1,000% understand where he was coming from.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I did, and he is going to speak his truth. And I'm just tell you a story to sort of capture Damian Lillard for you. There was a moment, and this is going back maybe 2 years, I believe it was in a playoff run, and I had wanted perspective on a matter, guys, and I don't remember exactly what the matter was, but I prefaced my remarks to Damian, who I've gotten to know quite well, and I said, you know, I'm not going to use this on the air, I'm just looking for some perspective, and he looked me dead in the eye, and he said, I promise you, if I say it to you, you can use it, and that's just sort of who he is, so.
And it certainly seems yep. like a guy who is overwhelmingly earned the respect of anyone he's ever come in contact with. And so those words from him are things that should be considered by everyone on this perspective. Doris, I want to play some sound for you. Mark Cuban is going to join Rachel Nichols. There's an extended interview that's going to air on The Jump today. And something he brought up that I thought was interesting, not necessarily about the format, but when to start the season. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I think you work backwards from next season. I've always been a proponent of starting on Christmas Day when we go to broadcast. And so if you work backwards from there and say, okay, we want to have 2 months off for draft and everything and players to recover. So you've got all of November, all of October. So we don't have to finish till the end of September.
So what do you think that means in terms of when a decision needs to be made?
I mean, you can accelerate. I mean, I think we have time. I mean, we can start playing August, you know, for that matter, because we don't have all the travel restrictions. Everybody in one, maybe two, but probably one location. You don't have to fly across country, you know, give everybody one day off if you need be. You play multiple games in one day. So you can compress it in ways that we never were able to before. So I'm not, you know, I don't think like there's a drop dead date, you know, maybe September, you know, August, start by August 1st, you know, in order to make it. So that gives us plenty of time.
Doris, do you agree with what Mark's saying here, that there doesn't have to be a sense of urgency to get going right this second?
Well, I think his timetable is 100% correct, because let's be real at this point. They've not yet made a decision. We will be into June before they make a decision. So you have to take into consideration time to get everybody back in the facility, time to get the individual workout week or two, then into the 3 weeks. Well, you're absolutely pushing pretty late already. Then you have to get to the bubble city. What is the quarantine situation in the bubble city? I have believed in this last 48 to 72 hours, as I talk with my colleagues, that this is likely going to start early August. And he's 100% right. And here's the thing. With the NFL now going to an extra week, you know, it's the perfect time to start your season on Christmas Day and give that a hard look. I would not want to be punching up at the NFL and competing with them more than I have to. Now, because of the circumstance, unfortunately, the reality is this particular playoffs, let's say it goes August, September, well, you're going to be directly up against the NFL. And if it happens, you are going to be up both that and the college football season, which will be difficult. But ultimately, as long as they can establish some standard of safety, acknowledging some inherent risk, which there will be, then if they can get comfortable, I hope these men have some resolution to the season. And I don't know that I agree with this idea that this will be a completely, and I don't want to use the wrong word, but an invalid title. I don't like that idea. You know, they've played more games than the strike-shortened season in 99, and I get it, you know, it's a completely different circumstance. There's been a huge point of interruption. Teams are basically starting from scratch. But whoever comes out of this will have earned it, whether it's the pool play and advancing through that. As long as they're able to get through 3 7-game series, then I'm all about this and getting some resolution to this.
Absolutely, and I think that's certainly what all these players are looking for, and I know everyone who are fans of this and looking forward to what had been a stellar NBA season so far, giving it that conclusion. Doris, we appreciate the time. We know this is actually the first time you've been back with us since your own battle with this virus, and so we're glad that you're doing well. We're glad to see you back on air and being such a great part of our coverage like always. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for the time.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
That was the question I was going to ask her, and she anticipated, like Gary Bettman did when we had him on. I was going to say, if this season goes on and we get a champion, what will your thought process be of the champion? And she gave the answer right there, because everyone's going to want that asterisk. Everyone's going to want to say is it going to be mean less or not? So everybody will have their thought on what this champion will mean.
And certainly we heard from Damian Lillard that because of this interruption, as Doris put it, it's a unique opportunity for some teams as guys have gotten healthy and as we've gotten out of the rhythm of their season to certainly give themselves a shot at that title. If you're missing basketball, tune in Sunday night for an NBA Classic, Game 7 of the 2017 NBA Finals between the Cavs and the Warriors, presented by AutoZone. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, coming up next, as baseball focuses on monetary negotiations, one World Series champion wants to be assured of his safety. We'll explain that after this.
All right, AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order before 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, including ones for jobs like replacing your brake pads and rotors or installing new wipers. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Back after this. Go look and win go.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Golic and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Shower Sessions, part interview, part concert, all from the shower, featuring Grammy winner St. Vincent, inviting up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and get funky, all in the sound booth of the home, the shower. Watch now at youtube.com/progressive.
I do enjoy singing in the shower.
It is. If singing in the shower or singing in the car, which do you like more?
Shower, because my voice echoes and I think sounds better. Gives me the false sense that I sound better than I really am.
See, I like the car because my the volume at which I have the song can accomplish the same
thing.
That's
true. Good point.
Moving, grooving, and I can usually give people on the highway a little bit of a show. When we're at like a stop sign or something like that, I give them a little show so when they look over, they see me getting after it.
Yeah.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. ESPN2, Mike Golic Jr. Trey Wingo scheduled day off here, but that doesn't mean baseball took a day off of doing what it does best, arguing about money in front of the public. And this time we have agent-on-agent action going on in this one, as Scott Boras, who was called out by Trevor Bauer the other day on Twitter for rumors of meddling with MLBPA issues. Well, we have now, and there's been a letter obtained that Scott Boras sent to his clients, and definitely not to anyone else.
No, he emailed his clients.
Just emailed to his clients.
Somehow, some way, that became public.
Exactly. And the big takeaway from Scott Boras' email to his clients was basically this idea of not giving in to the owner's demands. He said, quote, "The owner's current problem is a result of the money that they borrowed when they purchased their franchises, renovated their stadiums, or developed land around their ballparks. This type of financing is allowed and encouraged by Major League Baseball because it's resulted in significant franchise valuations." And we know, and we've heard mentioned, the franchise valuations continue to go up and up and up despite all of these things that we have heard about Major League Baseball's declining fan base, old fan base, etc.
So basically he's telling his players, listen, don't take more of a pay cut because that's just going in the pockets of the owners to pay off the stuff that they decided to do that you're not getting any benefit from. So don't help them with their problem. That's basically what he's saying. And certainly there's part of it. Let's people do things for their own, value as well. If his players make less money, he gets less money. And his players, a lot of them are making big time money. So, and not to say he's hurting for money, but listen, he's an agent. Agent tries to get the best deal for their players and they get a percentage of that. The more money the players go down in what they get paid, the less money he gets in commission.
Exactly. And so we acknowledge that going into this thing. Obviously, Scott Boras benefits tremendously if these guys don't take that deal. The other side of this that I heard Dominique Foxworth bring up yesterday was, remember that there are some owners, because Major League Baseball, well, we talked about that idea of spring training sites very early on in this, has now gone to a model where people will be playing games in their stadiums.
Right.
If things are to proceed as they have been right now. And what comes with that, if there are no fans, is a loss for some owners. Some owners will actually lose money if they're playing games in stadium without the normal ticket gate and the things that come with that. Which means, and I'm glad Dominique brought this up as a guy who was the former head of the NFLPA and the COO of the NBA Players Association, he said, speaking as a guy who was a part of a union, you have to remember that if there are a certain group of owners that would benefit from games not being played financially, consider that when you see a proposal like this that seems to come out and try and paint the players as the bad guy in all this. Remember the source.
It will be interesting if baseball ever uses that as their leverage of some owners who would actually lose less if they were to not play a season at all. And for that to be, okay, hey, players, you don't want to play ball a little bit, no pun intended, you know what? We're just not going to have a season.
But
then you get $0.
But I guess that's the reminder is who you should be looking at if you're the public, because as the owners have tried to paint the players in a negative light, you can't come out with that defense right now in the middle of the pandemic and say, well, because we're going to lose money, we don't want to play this, and that's our defense to strong arm you guys, the players. That's the one where it would become glaringly obvious to
right,
the public what we've been trying to talk about on here. Now, Barry Meister, a sports agent, joined Spain and Company yesterday. Barry Meister joined Spain and Company yesterday and talked about his view of Scott Boras and what he believes is the wrong move in this situation.
I have great respect for Scott Boras. Having said that, I never think it's productive for the players or the agents in the middle of a complex negotiation like this to create more noise in the structure. And so when, you know, people like to talk about what the players say and what the agents say and what Scott Boras says, but I honestly think it's detrimental to the process. And I just think it's okay to make your opinion known, but I think what's really important is what's going on in that room in New York or the two rooms where the two sides are.
Listen, I understand that completely. Why add a voice in there that you know has a side in this, has, you know, a stake in this?
Well, and a voice that is going to be occurring very publicly. And that's where I think this is kind of misguided, because this was a fight that the MLB owners and the league dragged into the streets.
Yeah, they did. And by the way, Scott Boras isn't telling his players to do anything that they've already basically as a whole decided not to do anyway. No players. I mean, this has already been kind of decided by this executive board that we've heard that the players in no way, shape, or form will get close to accepting this deal.
And there are some people that have wondered aloud how much the influence of Boras already was there for clients. Like, I believe Max Scherzer is one of his clients, a guy who we saw come out with a pretty strong statement there. So there's the difficulty in that, but I don't know. At the end of the day, the interesting portion of this and what Scott brought up was, is it on the owners, because just owning a team and the way that you've structured your finances on that, there is an inherent risk in doing that that you assume going into that job. Why should the players have to pay for that?
Yes, well, it's exactly right. I mean, what Scott Boras lays out, you could see a player going, yeah, why should we pay for their stuff? You know, but the bottom line is of all of this is owners in this situation, nobody is making their normal amount, right? So the owners are going to try to lessen their loss, and the players are going to try and lessen their loss, right? That's what we're doing here. That's the whole bottom line of this. How can we lose the least amount of money possible? That's what the fight's over right now.
It is. It's just interesting on the ownership side, them looking at the players and saying, well, because we're going to lose certain things. And it goes back to, for me, the value of the risk you assume as a player going out there and being exposed to this. Because to me, weirdly, and it's not a perfect comparison, but you remember what the Wilpon family went through with the Mets when everything went down with the Bernie Madoff scandal and the money that they had tied up there that was all of a sudden gone and the debt issues that they ran into and the things like that. The players weren't responsible for them succumbing to that risk. The players weren't responsible for that there. Now this is just a very league-wide, obviously different in a lot of ways.
Well, and what's, and you said different in a lot of the ways. What's the biggest difference in the other major sports? It's a revenue split. Baseball, it's not. And it's never going to be as far as the players are concerned.
No, and that is at the core of all of this, is you don't have that already assigned, like the NBA, like we've seen with the NHL, where Gary Bettman comes on with us.
No money issue.
There's nothing to discuss here because we have got a revenue split. We have got the way it shakes out as far as the hockey-related revenue or in the NBA's case, basketball-related revenue coming in, and how that automatically just triggers the way that we already do business on this. All right, one college is bringing players back to campus on Monday. What does it mean for one of the top basketball programs in the country? We'll ask their coach next on Golic and Wingo.